I haven't got the blues yet, but I am somewhat depressed. I own several pairs of shoes. Should I choose to get dressed?
When he writes songs, Loudon Wainwright III loves to look back at the high points and low points of his life. But when he sings and just shoots the breeze, he faces squarely forward with a sunny face that says, "Hey, what's next?" Hard to believe the writer of Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road, that combines the prophetic truth of Plato with the universality of a Marx Brothers gag, hard to believe he's in his 60s now. His famous Life magazine journalist father passed away in 1988, and in this period of his creative life, Loudon has created a new album and a one-man show called Surviving Twin that he says is an opportunity to collaborate posthumously with Loudon 1 and 2 and feel proud of, and to just express his feelings about his very creative and musical family as well.
I'm very proud of that and jealous. And
really? Really? How does that work?
Well, I'm being a little flip, but it's the Oedipal thing, you know? You know, I don't want to be replaced. When I read articles about any of them, and they say, when they refer to the person they're writing about as Wainwright, I think, wait a minute, I'm Wainwright.
Yeah.
Wainwright's fifth album is a beautiful piece of work, and it's just that.
Wainwright is not a generic term. Be more specific here.
Exactly.
What made you decide to do this show?
Well, a lot of that is related to that, you know, because my dad was well-known growing up. I mean, your dad wrote for that column about Mickey Mantle in Life magazine. Everybody read Life magazine. So I know what it was like to have a famous father. And it was thrilling and irritating. And we had a kind of competitive relationship, I'd say. Anyway, he died in 1988, and the name of the record that I made a couple of years ago was Older Than My Old Man Now, which refers to the fact that I outlived, you know, my dad died when he was just short of his 64th birthday. So when that happened, when I passed that landmark, I found myself going back and rereading all his work.
Wow.
And a lot of it I loved, particularly his personal stuff. And then I started, and on that record, Older Than My Old Man Now, I actually did two recitations of his work and connected them with a couple of my songs.
What's that song?
Well, there's a recitation, he does this thing called, about his father, Loudon the First, which goes, "If I remain still, if I'm alone and silent long enough to hear the sound of my own blood or breathing or digestion above the rustling of leaves and the whir of the refrigerator, my father is likely to turn up. He just arrives unbidden in the long-running film of my thoughts, like Hitchcock in his pictures, and he looks for all these 40-plus years of disembodiment, much like himself, big and sandy-haired with freckles on the backs of his hands, perhaps a bit more diffident in the way he holds himself than I remember. He doesn't stay long. And as far as I can tell, his visits have no message, yet even though years of therapy have led me to make the dark, whistling claim that he's finally dead and gone, my father, who died when I was 17, continues to be my principal ghost, a lifelong eminence grise, and only my own end will finish it."
Holy moly. Those are your dad's words about your grandpa.
Yeah, and then I follow with a song.
Older than my old man now. He died at 63, that's way too young. Now you gotta feed me, now you gotta need me, and I feel like a faithless son.
That's intimidating, that language, that just flowing language like that. Wow. It just sounds like it came to him in one single thought.
Well, I think he was a good writer. He was a great writer, I think. Yeah. And that's part of the fun of this, is despite the competitive thing, now more than 25 years after he's passed away, I'm celebrating his work and connecting it with mine. And I feel it's a powerful thing because I'm feeling pretty close to him.
Was there ever a moment when you went back and looked at that material and wished that that voice had addressed just you? Had been talking to just you, recalling maybe some of those combative conversations? Because dads always talk to their kids in a much different voice than you know the rest of the world hears them.
Yes. I mean, I remember going to his memorial service and meeting all these people that knew him that I didn't know, people in his therapy group and people that were younger than me at the time. And they were talking about what a great, warm, wonderful, open, accessible guy. Your dad was the most, you know, and I believe them. I think he was. But again, when you're in a situation with your own kids, it's you're being the dad and you're being the, and they're the, gosh, they, what a pain in the ass you kids are, you know.
You know, it's really disorienting for kids to realize that their parents had a life, first of all, before them,
mm-hmm.
and have a whole life without them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have a song which is actually on my new record that I wrote for Rufus's 40th birthday, which was last July.
Right.
And the name of the song is I Knew Your Mother.
I knew your mother, let me be clear. We were lovers before you got here. So don't forget that I knew her when love was the means and you were the end.
And there's a little thing about the biblical aspect of that.
Right, right.
But also, that's exactly what the song is about. It's about, you know, I knew her before you were here.
Right.
We were in love with each other. We had sex together. And then you came along. And the payoff is love was the means and you were the end.
You wrote in this album about depression, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you write about depression?
It's what's going on. So I'm writing about it. I have it sometimes. I have some friends that have had it. I mean, worse than me. I had a record out about 20 years ago called Therapy. I mean, it's one of my topics. You know, death, decay, depression, Thanksgiving.
Death, decay, depression, Thanksgiving. That's a good album title.
Blind Lemon sings the blues. The Jew does his wailing session. So tell me what you plan to do about all of that depression. Will you suck it up or ride it out? Or reread some old fan letter? Or head to the nearest bar room to stay drunk till it gets better?
You know, depression is so mystifying because in many ways the power of depression comes from how at odds it is with the objective reality of your life. I mean, you look at your life, it's like... It must be just like laughs all the time. Loud and Wayne.
Looks
dead
great.
Skunk, middle of the road, Rufus Wainwright. I mean, you know, concerts, asked to be in movies, you know. You're depressed. What a waste of depression.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
you to be depressed.
Yeah. Well, then you have to get depressed about being depressed. It's just, you know, or you hate, you know, you loathe yourself. Or why should I be wallowing in my... But again, I go back to the theory that what's happening to me... is happening to you, the big, you know, the public. So the idea is to affect people, you know, to make some kind of a connection.
Loudon Wainwright III is a singer-songwriter. His latest album, Haven't Got the Blues Yet, is set to be released in September. To get information on how to see his one-man show called Surviving Twin, visit us at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.